For the last 6 weeks, we've been in the midst of this conversation, and we're talking about this idea that Jesus Christ came to bring us actual freedom. And looking at this problem that if Jesus Christ came to bring us freedom, came to make us free, then why then, when we look at the lives of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, does it look more like slavery than it does like freedom? And we've just been kind of really honest about that and walking through this and saying, okay, we must have missed something because we're not free. And throughout this entire conversation, I've been saying, and I'll say it again, I don't think it matters if you walked in here today claiming to be a follower of Jesus Christ, skeptical about this message of Jesus Christ, or you just believe this message of Jesus Christ to be a complete sham. Whenever I say that, I think of that commercial, ShamWow. I was like, I got to say a different word because that's all I think about. And I hear that guy screaming. It's so disturbing. But it really doesn't matter where you are on this journey, right? What you believe about this. I believe we're all slaves. And throughout this conversation, we've been looking at that slavery and how we live so much of our lives, if not all of our lives, enslaved to expectations. And most of the decisions that we make, and I'll say it's probably going to be true for you again going into this next week, most of the decisions you make this week will be made because of someone's expectations of you. Whether it be your boss, whether it be your family, your parents, society, most of the decisions we make, it's because of someone's expectations. We're living up to some expectation that someone has of us. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, when we look at this situation, we are slaves. And yet I believe, and we've been talking through this journey, that Jesus Christ came to free us in all sorts of different ways, but in a huge way from those expectations. And so if you haven't been here for the last couple weeks, let me just kind of get you caught up really quickly. And our conversations are always online. They're usually up by like Sunday afternoon. The guys are really quick about it. But you can go back and listen to them. But if you haven't been here, let me just kind of catch you up. For the last couple weeks, we've been talking about the things that we've misunderstood about God that have led us to really become a slave to his expectations. And so we've, over the last couple of weeks, in many ways, kind of redefined God and really redefined this relationship that we have to God or how we relate to God. And we've realized, as we've looked at his word, that God is not a God who's distant. God is not a God who's kind of standing away from us, hoping that we meet his expectations. That this God is not a God who relates to us based upon what we can do or what we can't do. But rather, this is a God who, because of the fact that he wanted you to be a part of his family, has pursued you, has given his son to take care of anything that would stand between you and him, that has actually taken everything that was broken about you, everything that was wrong with me, and has paid for that, has taken that and put that on Jesus Christ on that cross so that I could stand before God without any fear, without any hesitation, without any expectation. So that I could stand before God and know that with this God, the relationship I have with him, that he's excited about me, not because of what I'm doing or what I did or because I met some level of expectation, but because of what Jesus Christ did. The Bible tells us that we've been given the righteousness of God because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And like I said, I don't have time to walk through all of that. If you haven't been able to be here with us, I hope that you'll go back and listen to it because it's crucial to this. We've been realizing that, man, in this relationship with God, this isn't a relationship that's based on our performance, but it's a relationship that's based on Jesus Christ. And we can now experience this love and this connection. And it doesn't matter whether I live up to the expectation or not, because it's not based on that. And so for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking through how that works in our lives and what that looks like in our lives. And for a lot of you, you're beginning to come to the point where you don't necessarily believe it on a constant basis in your life. You haven't really gotten to the point where you're living this way, but you're beginning to understand now that, okay, I don't I am actually unconditionally loved. And you're beginning to look at God as a God who's not waiting for you to make a mistake, but a God who's on your side, a God who sees you as holy and pure and beautiful because of what Jesus Christ did. And you're beginning this journey of leaving the expectations behind in your relationship with Him. But this journey isn't just about the expectations that we have with God. And from the beginning, I've told you that this isn't just about freedom in your relationship with God. This is also about freedom in the relationships that you have with the people around you. And so for a lot of you, as we've been talking through this, you said, okay, Chris, I understand now that before God, I don't have to live up to expectations. I get to just worship. I am actually free. But what about my boss? Because my boss still has expectations for me. How does this impact the relationship that I have with my dad? Because my dad still has expectations of me. And I still feel like most of my life is being lived in response to these expectations that people have around me. And I can't seem to get away from them. So how does this work? And that's what I want to kind of spend our time on today as we begin to kind of bring this conversation to a close and we begin to work through the really practical aspects of this idea of being free. Now, in order for us to answer that question, we have to go back to the beginning because it's crucial for us to understand what brought us to the point where we are literally enslaved to the expectations of the people around us. It's crucial for us to understand why we are where we are. And so from the very beginning of this conversation, we've been talking about the fact that God intended for us to be in this relationship with Him and with those around us where it's just perfect love. Perfect connection, everything working in harmony, where your relationship with God was flowing 100% perfect love, your relationship with those around you connected 100% perfect love. This was the intention. This was the family that was supposed to be. But as we said from the very beginning, it didn't take long before we decided that, okay, I don't really need to value this, and I don't really need to value this. And so we broke our relationship with God, and we continually break our relationship with one another. Now, we talk about this as sin. If you haven't been here, it's crucial for you to understand that when we talk about sin, we believe sin is relational. Therefore, when we talk about sin, we're talking about anything that is not loving. Anything that is self-focused. And so we find ourselves in this situation where our relationships that we have with one another become broken because we choose ourselves instead of choosing to love. We choose ourselves as opposed to choosing to serve. And so we find ourselves in a situation, as I said, as we begin this conversation, where it's basically survival of the fittest. I have to take care of myself. Because you're not going to take care of me. And once this family that was supposed to be begins to break down, we find ourselves over and over and over again in situations where, you know what, I have to watch out for myself because I don't have this loving connection with those around me. I don't have this loving connection with my God. And so I have to make sure that I have what I need. Now, there are huge problems with this position because you were never created to be an island unto yourself. But rather than worshiping God, and the way that Romans talks about this breakdown, Romans 1, verse 25, it says, they traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God had created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. And he's not just talking about worshiping idols. He's talking about this choice that we made to worship ourselves. This choice that we made to say, you know what, I can make it on my own. I can provide for myself. I can be like God. But there are huge problems with this. because you're not an island unto yourself. And you have certain needs that you can't actually meet for yourself. And today I just want to walk you through a couple of them just as given examples. There are tons of these things in your life. But I just want to walk you through three of them because I think they're the three that we realize most prominently in our lives. And so they're the three that I think you'll be able to connect with as we walk through this conversation, and the three that I think you'll be able to most easily see that you cannot provide for yourself. But there are certain things that you simply cannot give yourself. One of those is love. And if you have your program, there's a little notes card inside there, and you can kind of jot down some of this stuff as we're walking through this. But in your life, not only were you created to receive love, but you actually can't give yourself love. Now, you can try it, right? Like, you can stand in front of a mirror. I love you. Some of you do that. Man, you're good looking. You can try it, but the truth is you can't actually give yourself love. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how much you try to tell yourself that you're lovable, it doesn't matter. You need to hear it from someone else. Love is something that can only come from somewhere else. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that it actually comes from God. 1 John 4:7 says this. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." But when this happens, when we find ourselves in this situation where all of a sudden we're cut off from Him and we're cut off from those around us, we find ourselves in a place where we can't actually answer that question. And then not only do we go love, but then also from there, there's this idea of value. You cannot give yourself value. Love, we don't try to do very often. Value, we actually begin to try to do a little bit more. And so sometimes we fall into this idea of believing that if I really think that what I'm doing is valuable, then it is valuable. That doesn't last for very long. In our lives, when it comes to this idea of value, the problem with value is that value can only be determined by someone else. Even if you have something, you can't declare something to be valuable that you have. Someone else has to believe that it's valuable in order for it to actually be valuable. So I could tell you that this pen is worth $100, but if no one will give me $100 for it, then it's actually not, right? Value can never be determined by the owner. It has to be determined by what someone is willing to give for it. Therefore, for you, when it comes to this question of whether or not you're valuable, which is something that we all want, that we all desire, that we all crave, you can't answer that for yourself. It's impossible. Someone else has to answer that for you. Someone else has to love you. In both of these situations, there are incredibly huge needs in our lives that we can't provide for ourselves. Incredibly huge needs in our lives that go completely unmet if we become an island unto ourselves. And then beyond that, not only do we see love and value, but then there's actually this idea of provision. And if we begin to believe that we can provide value for ourselves a little more than love, we begin to believe provision a lot more. This idea that I can actually provide for myself, I can actually provide what I need in order to survive, in order to thrive, but that's not true. You can't. You cannot survive on your own. There's only one man who can. You ever seen his TV show? Survivor Man? What is it called? It doesn't help me if you mumble. Like, you have to yell it out. No one knows what it's called? Oh, it is Survivor Man. Excellent, excellent. Thank you. Only one man can do this. And I'd be willing to bet that you're not him. As a matter of fact, I'd be willing to bet everything I've ever made, which is not very much, right? But I'd be willing to bet that you wouldn't be able to do what he does. And the crazy thing is that he can't even do it long term. He can do it for a short amount of time, but he can't do it indefinitely. Why? Because you were created to live inside of community. You can't actually provide for yourself. Left to yourself for an extended period of time, you will die. It's true for every single one of us. Now, for some of you, I realize like you're like tough guys and independent people, so you're like, no, that's not me, man. I can make it. Like, you're pretty sure that if you got stranded on an island, man, if you just had a volleyball to hang out with you, you'd be good to go. And there is this point kind of in the middle of our lives where we begin to buy into this idea that we'd be able to make it on our own. But there are a couple things in our lives that remind us of the fact that this is absolutely true. These are my boys. Right? I just wanted to put their picture up there. Doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. No. You know what the craziest thing is about becoming a parent? If I don't take care of these guys, they die. Like when you're at the hospital and they give you the baby and they're like, okay, it's time to go home. You've been here for 2 days. You're like, that is a big mistake you're making. You really need to reconsider this because this thing isn't going to make it with me. And it's crazy. You go home and one of the most shocking realities of becoming a parent is that this thing will die if I don't take care of it. And guess what? You were there once. And the crazy thing about life is that if you live a long time, you'll be there again. And there will come a point in your life, there was a point in your life, and there will come a point in your life where you will not be able to stay alive without the care and connection of the people around you. And in the middle years, we kind of buy into this idea that, man, I can do it. I'm independent. No, we're not. And in your life and in my life, there are all sorts of needs that we have that we cannot answer for ourselves, that we cannot provide for ourselves, that we cannot meet on our own. But they're built into who we are. So we can't leave them behind. And in your life, no matter how hard you want to leave behind the desire to be loved, you will not be able to escape it. No matter how much you want to leave behind the desire to be valued, you may change the people group that you want to be valued by, but you will not be able to escape it. And you have to be provided for. There's no way to escape it. You have to eat. There are certain things that you need in order to live. Now, this puts us in a really, really bad position because our relationships have been broken. The relationships that we have with those around us have been broken. The relationships that we have with God have been broken. And what was intended to be has now become twisted and warped. And this one, this God who was supposed to answer all these questions for us is no longer connected to us. And not only that, we look at this God. And we've been told that this God is all about expectations. And so this idea that we're going to have those questions answered by God becomes a really, really difficult thing to stomach because that means I'm going to have to live up to his expectations. And so what we do is rather than trying to live up to God's expectations so that he'll answer those questions for us, so that he'll love us, so that he'll value us, so that he'll provide for us, we decide instead to try to find that in the relationships that we have with one another. And so we begin to move into one another's lives and we begin to look for that love from each other. And so we move into relationships and we're looking for that love that we need, that we want, that we can't escape. We move into one another's lives. We're looking for someone who will value us, someone who will tell us that we're valuable, that what we're doing matters, that we're worth something. We move into one another's lives and looking for others who will help us to be able to provide, someone who will hire me so that I can provide for my family. We move into slavery. And the reason that we move into slavery is because people are broken. And we were never intended to have these questions answered by someone else. We were intended to have these questions answered by God. And we were never intended to have these questions answered conditionally by the people around us, but unconditionally by God. I mean, there are a million different reasons why it destroys us to have these questions answered by the people around us. I'll give you just four of them. Number one, people can never answer these questions for you completely. People don't know you entirely. And this is how this slavery begins, right? And so you move into the life of this other person and you're looking to receive this love from them, this love that you were intended to receive from God, but now you're not sure you can live up to his expectations, and you think it's easier to live up to the expectations of this person that you're in the relationship with. And so you move in and you're looking for that love and you receive that love. But you're pretty sure that if they actually find out who you are, everything about who you are, then that love is going to go away. And so you only show them the side of you that you want them to see. And you spend your life trying to make sure that they don't find out about that other side. You spend your life trying to make sure they don't find out about that other aspect of who you are. You're a slave. People will never be able to answer that because no one actually knows you entirely the way God does. Not only that, people change. People can't answer these questions for you indefinitely. And so you find someone who loves you. You find someone who values you, but then all of a sudden, as life continues to move forward and things change, they change. And now they don't love you. And you're trying to move into some new direction, some other way of being able to find this thing that you desire. And then number three, people are conditional. And no matter how much we learn how to be able to show grace to one another, the truth is that as we move into one another's lives, we're conditional. And so if you're going to be perceived as valuable, you're going to have to live up to a certain level of expectation. And if you're going to be valuable, then you have to perform at a certain level, or else you're going to lose it. And then lastly, people aren't in control. And so your boss tells you that, man, everything is great. You're going to be provided for. And you're finding this provision and this job that it just provides everything that you've ever wanted. And your boss is like, hey, listen, don't worry about the future. Everything is in place. This is going to be great. And then all of a sudden, something in the market changes and the company's gone. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You see, people can't answer these questions. But most of us live our lives running in circles, trying to make sure that we live up to the right expectations at the right time so that we'll be loved, so that we'll be valued, so that we'll be provided for. But here's what God says. God says, listen, in your life, I want, and he's been saying this throughout our entire conversation, I want to bring you back to what it was meant to be. And I want to answer those questions for you. Let's just take the three that specifically that we've been talking about. And so you look at this idea of value. Okay, God valuing you. I want you to listen to what God tells you in Romans 8, chapter 15. It says, since you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, instead you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And we've been talking about this for a while now. I'm trying to get us to grab a hold of this. When God steps into your life and he wants to talk about value, he says to you, you are my kids. Not only did I give my son for you, not only did I give my son to bring you back to me, but you are actually my children. That's how valuable you are. That's how important you are. He says, I want to answer this question of value. We talk about this idea of love. 1 Thessalonians 1:4 says this. It says, we know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. God says, when it comes to this idea of love, you don't have to look for it somewhere else. You can find it right here. You can find it with me. We talk about this idea of provision. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says this. It says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. He says, not only am I going to provide for you, but I'm actually going to provide for you to the point where you're going to be able to be generous to those around you. He says, I want to answer that question for you. You don't have to keep seeking it somewhere else. But the problem is, for a long time, we've looked at God saying that to us, and we've thought that it was conditional. We've looked at God communicating that to us, and we've said, okay, God's going to provide for me, but he's going to provide for me if I meet the standards. God's going to answer my prayer requests as long as I make sure that I'm spending enough time reading his word. God's going to provide for me and make sure that I have what I need as long as I make sure I make all the right decisions. As long as I meet the expectations. And so it's become meaningless to us because you can't meet the expectations. There's no way. And so the promises become meaningless to us because it doesn't matter if he says that he's going to do that because I can't keep my end of the bargain. But this whole conversation has been about God coming and saying, no, listen, this isn't about a bargain. I did it. I took care of it. It's done. It's over. There are no more expectations. There is nothing else that you have to live up to. My promises are not based on you being able to do what you need to do. My promises are based on the fact that I did it. And I'm going to answer those questions for you unconditionally, freely. You don't have to keep looking for it somewhere else. You don't have to be a slave anymore. You don't have to be a slave to these expectations you think I have of you. You don't have to be a slave to the expectations of those around you. And for me, this has been huge because I got to tell you, I don't know any other job where you have as many expectations as my job. Because guess what? You each have expectations for me. It's your great gift to me. And I love it. That was a joke. It's not always enjoyable. And it's a job where one of the things that's great about being a pastor is that there's like this unwritten rule that if the pastor doesn't meet your expectations, then it's your duty to email him and let him know that he didn't meet the expectations. But as I became a pastor, and not in this church, but in another church, and I kind of began this journey, I came face to face with this real quick. Because as I began, I began to look at the people around me, and I was looking for love and value, and really, in a lot of ways, this idea of provision. And so I moved into this church culture, and I moved into this kind of pastoral position, and I began to work to try to meet expectations so that the people would love me. It was awful. And it was really, really important to me that the people around me, the people who were a part of this church, valued what I did and valued what I brought to the table and valued what I brought to them. And so I just worked and worked and worked to be able to meet the expectations. And it was killing me. And the crazy thing is, as a pastor in a church, I mean, you're in a position where it really is about provision. I mean, you're interacting with people and talking through things. And I mean, man, if they don't like it, they're going to leave and they're going to walk away. And we need people to be here. And I found myself in a place where, man, I was just running and running and running and running and running and running and trying to meet all these expectations. And you may not experience it the way I experienced it there, but we all experience it. And whether it's living up to the expectations of your boss or your dad or your friends or the one you want to love you, you're just running and running and running and running and running. And life becomes awful. And just when you think that they're going to value you, they don't. And just when you think that they're going to love you, they leave. And just when you think that you're provided for, it falls through. And you're just a slave. And God began to walk me down this journey of saying, Chris, you're going to kill yourself if you keep living like that. If you don't start to believe me that I'm going to answer these questions for you. If you don't start to believe me that I'm the one who loves you. And you don't start to believe me that's unconditional. And he's still walking me down that journey. But I can tell you, I've come a long, long ways to where now I can stand up here and I can tell you things that sometimes you don't want to hear. I can make decisions that for some of you don't live up to your expectations. But that's okay, because you don't answer those questions for me anymore. I'm free. And the same thing can be true for you. And you can begin to move into that relationship with your spouse, and you can love, and you can be loved, but you don't need it. I was having a conversation with a guy after the service earlier. And he came up to me, he said, I know exactly what you're talking about. He said, the way that I talk about it to myself is that I need to enter into my workplace whole. I need to arrive at work whole. In other words, I need to arrive at work already knowing that what I need and what I desire has already been given to me. I am complete. I need to walk into this relationship with my girlfriend or with my spouse whole, knowing that the love that I need, that I desire, that I crave has been given to me by my God. It's unconditional. No one can take it from me. And I get to enjoy that love that she gives me or that he gives me, and I get to love without expectation, without slavery. And you get to perform and do what you do because you're responding to what God has done for you, not because you want people to realize how valuable you are. Because you are valuable. And no one can change that. And nothing you do or what anyone says will ever make you more valuable than being a child of God. And you can walk into your workplace and you can begin to make decisions about your job based upon what God's done for you and what you believe God wants to do through you, as opposed to trying to somehow make sure that your job provides for you, because it doesn't. He does. And I realize this is hard for us because our experience of God has been shallow based on the fact that our understanding of grace has been weak. But this is true. And God's inviting you into something so much better. You can be completely free. And if you'll begin to trust him, say, okay, God, I'm going to believe you that my connection to you, my relationship with you, these promises, all these things, that these aren't based on me. This isn't based on what I do. This is based on what you've done. And you can begin to move into these situations and leave behind those expectations. It is going to drastically change your life. And one of the great things about being a parent is that as a parent, you watch my son's 2 years old, just turned 2 years old. One of the great things about when you're two is that you find a two-year-old who is in a loving relationship with their parents, and you find a two-year-old who is in a position where their parents value them and they're provided for and taken care of. You will find this unbelievable happiness. After the service, I was having a conversation with this little girl out here. She's 3 years old, and that little girl is so happy. And I'm like, son of a gun, that is exactly what God wants for me. That's what my life should look like. That's what he wants for you. We just have to trust him. It's so much better. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, it's unbelievable what you've come to give to us. It's unbelievable the freedom that's possible for us. It seems too good to be true. And so, Father, my prayer today for every single person here is that they would leave behind the skepticism. That they wouldn't settle. That there would be a fire that would come up inside of them today to find what you came to give us. That they would never settle for less than everything you've made them to be. I think of the people outside these doors in our community, in our city. And Father, they are crying out for someone who's free. Someone to show them that it's actually possible to be free. And so, Father, for those, not just for ourselves, but for those who live around us, God, please don't let us settle. You've given it all to make this possible. Please don't let us settle. We want you. In Jesus' name, amen.